Right, hey guys, Annie and Jane, we're back with reading the Patreon comments. I'll put timestamps for all the series below. I'll be doing it in order of, I'll just be doing it like one series at a time. So I'll do all the Buffy comments from the last episode I read, and then do all the Modern Family. And then I'll say the name of the show, and then leave a little pause between shows so you have enough time to pause and skip to the comments you care about. Other than that, we've just got the updates. I have dealt with the flood. I've got the drying companies over now, and the dry well the drying equipment's over now, drying the house out. May have a bit of problem with the insurance because something fucked up, but hopefully that gets resolved next week. And everything should be back to normal. Yeah, so sorry about all the delays there. That was unexpected. I had a really bad week prior to that, and then flood happened, and I was just like, oh, this is for God's sake. They get any worse. But no, we're gonna start with the Modern Family comments. We're going from season 5, episode 1 and 2. So we put the double proposal had me in teary-eyed the first time I watched the episode. I remember at the time of this, many shows had the gay proposals after the Supreme Court passed the law, and it's great seeing it being celebrated with characters. No, absolutely loved that scene with Mitchell and Cam. And no, I'm yeah, no, it's always you always forget how long ago it was, because I think it was 2014. I remember Parks and Rec did it as well, I believe. But it's interesting to see, like, yeah, it was that. It's something that you forget. It's such recent history sometimes. Sometimes you forget. But Hazam, thank you for getting the content out while dealing with so much in your life right now. Best of luck for the flood and stay safe. No, thank you. And thanks for everyone's patience. I really do appreciate it. Season 5, episode 5 and 6, Nightfield. But if you like Lily, can you react to the skits of Modern Family's cast from the Emmy 2012? It's short and hilarious. I will add it on to the next reaction most likely. So yeah, I will check that out. That's it for the Modern Family. Now we'll be doing, is it The Good Place? So we're doing The Good Place, starting from episode 9, season 3. Simple, I'm really looking forward to your reactions to the rest of to how the show ends. I love Eleanor and Chidi. This episode and all their moments was a real treat. I had completely forgotten about the Penguins wearing the Jagger jersey. That is so precious and so funny too. And Norma Michael's Focus episodes are awesome. Their friendship is just entertaining to watch. No, I absolutely love their friendship. It's absolutely adorable. Brian Porter, pick a pet day, mirror centaur, kebab shop everywhere. I like how later on in the fake good place, the plots get a little sweeter. Like it's really a long-running episodic sitcom. Michael keeps trying to reboot, even as he started to run out of ideas. Bless his soul. Episode 10, Brian Porter. The Earth arc is definitely the most people's least favorite arc of the series. I've never disliked it, but there's not much to say really. The thing is with the Earth arc, Earth's Earth. It's a bit boring about a place where we're dealing with the afterlife and stuff. That's the interesting stuff. Like, I was so excited when we went to the accounting, when we was in the accounting area. I think that was just such a. I just like being in like the bad place, the good place, the accountant. Being on Earth, it's just like, yeah, cool. We know none of this really matters. Not saying anything that any of this could matter, but I'm just like, I love learning about the good place, bad place, and like the afterlife versus just being on Earth. So I think that's why it came across as a bit weak. And mainly because it was sort of like a rehash of season 2. But I still enjoyed it, and it still has some really great moments. So I didn't really have too much of a problem. And that is the good place over. We're going to move on to Buffy. So we'll start with Buffy season 2, episode 14. As well, hope you're doing well. Stay healthy and cheers. Thank you very much. So, but as you said, Angel is technically dead. Buffy's metaphorically killed him. The funeral of Buffy's dreams was Angel's. She keeps dreaming before Drusilla was going to kill him, but she didn't realize Drus was actually herself. It's always a delight to watch reactions to this episode, but you are the first one who thought Angel's soulless angel was going to attack the woman who tried to help him. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I just assumed he's gone off the deep end. It was even harder to believe back then in the series first aired. Good characters didn't turn bad so much that they realized just by saying to the audience would believe it. And that's why when it came up to the judge, they needed something that could really. Factually enough to convince the viewers Angel lost his soul for real. Thank you so much. I still can't believe that was bloody Luke. Episode 15, Suki. Well, vampires don't transform. The human is dead and the demon takes over. So there's nothing there to save. There's no human left. But then we have the curse, don't we? So I guess that's how the curse works, though. Oz has just turned into a werewolf. There was no other werewolves in the town before him. It was his 3-year-old cousin who turned him when he first bit his finger. See, the only reason that confuses me is that he locks himself up, but if you're just saying he just turned into a werewolf, so I guess he didn't realize the first time when he was running around in the forest, and then he started locking himself up. That makes a bit more sense. The werewolf hunter misogynistic might sound like a little too much, but the thing is, I've been working as caretaker in school for almost a year now, and many things teachers assume I can't do. I'm a woman, or many times they look at me in disbelief whenever I'm using drills or something else. And they are teachers, educators. Yeah, no, I think like in my workplace, it's a warehouse, and it's customers about, and like they'll purposely not go to the women to ask for help for lifting, even though they'd lift just as much as I do when it comes to warehouse work, and they purposely go to the guys, and it's like, yeah. You do forget, and it just like when you hear stories like people who work in game shops, like when they sell video games, people won't listen to the girls behind the counters because they're, because I've got a friend who works game, they wouldn't listen to her because there's like always a guy's thing, and it's like, no, girls game too, and it's just like, oh, see, I guess, yeah, you're all right there. Xander's homophobia is also difficult to swallow in this episode, but sadly, it's still nowadays as realistic as the guy's misogyny again. I worked in a school and I hear the kids talking, yeah, I think like you forget. Like if, especially with younger kids, their empathy's like sort of turned off. They don't give a shit. So it's like they don't, right? There's no empathy, is there, until you grow up. Thank you so much, Liam. Please let us know how he's gonna do the pool for the next BL, because I've fell head over heels in love with the one I want to recommend you. Yeah, it'd be so. I've just OnlyFans got two episodes left, so literally straight after OnlyFans, I'll do a poll, and yeah, I'll let you know. Simple. Love that you guessed about Oz. I was quite shocked at first when I watched the episode. Yeah. They need to do something more of his character, and it just fit with the writing of how the show was going, so it made sense. Vampires will turn into humans, souls dies, and the demon takes over. So basically, the person you knew is just a walking corpse. That's why they get killed on sight. Werewolves are still human with a curse that they can't control. Yeah, see, it just throws me off because Angel could be changed, so doesn't that mean the other ones could be in theory? But then it is a curse that changed them. The sound isn't gone either. So is it like the original Angel is technically dead? It's just a demon, and then a demon got curse to make him feel empathy. So the technically the original angel who died isn't the angel we know. So he died long. The original angel died when he turned into a vampire. So it's just the demons gained in the conscience. Is that how we would explain it? So many things didn't age well in this episode. Willow saying a girl who makes the first move might be called a slut. That was really bad. It's like Jesus Christ. The joke about periods, the misogyny is the although is quite bad even nowadays, and homophobia. It's also a very enjoyable episode, and I love that Oz and Willow are in it. Also, Willow and Cordelia complain about men is such a good scene too. There was even foreshadowing for one of Willow's lines. Oh, that's cool. Episode 16, so you keep up. That was a great reaction. I enjoyed it so much. You're struggling with Xander, so relatable for most fans, but I have a soft spot for him. He somehow he's grown. I'm growing a soft spot for Xander. And I fucking hate the fact that I am. Especially understanding what his character is all about. Just like Cordy, he is brutally honest. Xander is raw, unchecked emotions. You could tell he's an idea of a person's ego. Thank you so much. And Sophie, but it's definitely a weaker episode, but I still enjoy it. The humor of some scenes and the one-liners work well. And it's also one of the guilty pleasure episodes. I don't really like the whole love spell plot line, but Drusilla made me laugh so much to when she's not immune. That was funny. Also, I was looking for Buffy. Right, it's funny. That was also really good. And I like the continuation of Amy being a witch. I also that was a good little correlation. I did love that. I like it. The show's been doing it a bit more, like linking back to old episodes, and I do like that. It could really break my heart a little when she was wearing the necklace. Everyone enjoyed the humor of this episode and total chaos. Angel and Drusilla are also funny in this episode. That is Buffy comments done. Let's go. We're doing the eclipse. We're OnlyFans. So the eclipse episode one, simple. I'm so curious to hear your theories about what's going on in this school. I loved when you recognize Neo Kyoto is very different from Boston. Kill Catch Me If You Can line is so iconic. I forgot how much AK is a gay panic since episode one. I was going to say when he met me, I forget that when he was in the room and he had to keep looking at his uniform. I forgot that. Yeah, he's already fallen quick. When he's had to put on a jacket away so he doesn't have to see it because he keeps thinking about Aeon. It's so funny. You mentioned Blacklist vibes, but for me, it's totally Gifted feeling. I have watched the first episode. I won't say why, because you may have watched Gifted one day, so spoilers, but I know many others felt the same. The chemistry between Aki and Aeon is already good. Piaf was so right when he said they had a great natural chemistry. Neo and Lewis were actually a side couple in another series, so I was curious to see them in this new series. Eclipse, I was after not me, but I agree. First looks younger. Really? He really does look younger in this than he did as Yoke. And not me, I guess it's the way the dress and stuff. I had the same feeling in the first episode. I wasn't hooked right away, but intrigued. I do agree about the music. I don't remember that detail. Well, I am curious about your reaction to the series. I only watched once reaction videos, so I don't know the details apart from a couple. The song and intro is Call Me a Moon, Megapop. And I have a complicated relationship with this series. I definitely share once we move in. Super interested to see how you feel about the series. Openly, Helly? I'm going to need to select you. If you haven't noticed, I have. Philly Pop, I know it's got mixed feedback, but I actually really love it. I like how it's more plot driven than just being about a couple slash romance. Also, I love that all the characters. There's a reply. I agree with the other comments. Some people miss it and miss the whole purpose of the show. There really is a reason why the prospect turned it off flamboyant. It's not a coincidence that it's all openly gay characters are seen as bad ones and are targeted by the school and prefects. Some of the people miss that and miss the whole point. Despite having some problems with writing of the show, it's still one of my favorites, and mainly because Aki and Anya. Anya, especially, is one of my all-time favorite characters. I also like this show works a lot better if you think of it as school as a metaphor for authority and social. With the teachers being the government, I did get that vibe with the head teacher. It felt more governy than student as regular civilians. Otherwise, the protest and reactions to it can seem a bit a little dramatic. I really like some of the political and philosophy discussions that brings up the series, and it's a good way around it because I know they're quite harsh around the political topics, aren't they, in Thailand? Right, now the long ones for the big only. For the first scene between Sand and Ray, the director said they had to keep stopping and redoing the scene because the first crew kept crying. You can really see him holding back the tears. He's become personally my favourite in the cast. Love him and the Eclipse too. Can't wait for you to watch more. I love First. First is fantastic. Sure. Tove Report, I've been binging your past four reactions of the series the past few days, and they've all been so good. We share a lot of the same opinions, which is nice because the series has a lot of different opinions about it. I was also sold a lot more on top this episode, aside from the hug. Yeah, I agree. The hug really is like everything else is perfect for that, which I've also thought crossed the line. He definitely went up in my list a bit. And that line about him being fine with Mew, not taking him back, as long as he didn't screw up his life because of him, was definitely needed for the context for his actions later. Makes them more viewed in a different light because he seems like a pretty genuine to me. And him helping out Ray at the end, thank God. Although imagine if it wasn't actually him that called the cops, just so he could turn up and save the days. That would be savage. Oh my God, that'd be such a twist. Jesus Christ. He would have to go right down the list. If that was true, he would shoot down the list. I agree that Ray was definitely not the best in this episode, but I think it's also important to keep in mind that he's in most of these scenes, at least the one at the party, he was high on coke. He keeps sniffing and touching his nose whenever he acts up and crosses the line. A visual reminder to the audience that the fact. And it's something that I keep in mind when judging his character, because those who are definitely not sober in actions, although it's not 100% his fault being high, it's 100% his fault for being high in the first place, allowing these things to happen. So there's also that. Hopefully, as you said, this will be a turning point for him, and I guess we have to wait and see. Oh, and I'm also right there with you rooting for Sand and Nick scenes, any more than Sand and Nick scenes. It's important. This episode was great and so chaotic in the party. Look at different costumes and the actors posting their costumes. Just the costumes on Twitter. My favorite is Sand as Freddie Mercury during the Live Aid concert. I love Sand in this episode. I love him all the time. And when he's with Ray, he's not the second option. Yes, he king, you tell him. Ray really reached a new low in this episode, but I still love him and I was worried that he would get arrested. Mew throwing the drink at the top was so damn satisfying. I like Mew's rebellious phase. It's so entertaining to watch. It makes him a lot more interesting as well. And I also like to see Brooke act more. His other roles had not much material to work with. He was quite good, and I'm sure, given a good script and director, he could improve more. Chun's going off on Ray was also great too, and loved to see the supportive girlfriend. The only healthy relationship in the series. Nick and Sand are besties. Yes, need more. Your panic thinking the last episode kind of made me laugh. There's still so much to tell. Can't wait for the end. Not sure if you listed the outro song yet, but the song is by Ford, who played the poor in My School Musical, High School President. God, there's all these little facts. I love it. I'm curious to see if you recognize the one actor in episode 6, Q from Not Me. By the way, did you recognize Nick's boss, Dan? He's in Being Moonlight Chicken. He's Being Moonlight Chicken, Jim's cheating ex who died on the ferry. Oh my God, that's where he. Ah! Yes! Bo is literally in every gym suit. Ah, fuck off. I can't believe I still didn't notice who Graham was. That still hurts me. Episode 9, the video had no subtitles on it, in case you didn't know. Sorry about that. Like, when I recorded that, my OBS was up a little bit, so it cut out the subtitles on the video. It took me forever to resync, so sorry about the long fix on that. In the first scene, Sans Ray said he understands his own feelings, and now Anna kisses Sans just to screw Mew in the next scene and get angry and tell him guilt trip him for stopping. I live for Sans and Nick's friendship, might be the only healthy relationship in the whole series. Top having grown on me too. I wish we had a chance to see his former player self, because I think we're lacking that to get the proper grasp of his character personality. I do agree. I wish we got to see more of his previous personality, because then it would make then it fit in more. Once again, Ray mentions threesomes in the series. He does it so much, and the fans are asking to please give the poor boy a threesome already. You've asked that you've seen Dan's actor before. He plays Grandpa, not me. And Beam, Jim's, I can't believe in fucking Moonlight Chicken. He's fucking Beam. I knew. See, I got the Grandpa vibe, but I knew he was from somewhere else as well. Fuck's sake. I'll give you pleasure, the love scenes. My goodness, they take me over. I know Ray was with Mew, but I ship the couple, and I do ship Ray and Sand. If their sex scene is based on love, I can't help but find it hot, no matter how, not under the circumstances. Thank you, Liam. And I think your house is finally okay. Right, we'll find out. Hopefully, I've had to rip up literally all my floor. I've got to get all the white goods out. I've made it through out my sofa. I threw out my table, threw out a bunch of stuff. I'm just hoping the insurance comes through. I don't have 1.1 and I hope it gets sorted. Some people, I hope everything is sorted, with the damage wasn't too bad in the flood. It's about 3 grand, 3-4 grand worth of damage. It's not the end of the world. Like I said, there's no point stressing over something I can't have control. Oldest episode left us all screaming. By the end of the mute, showing us nobody was expecting it. I'm not going to tell you who he plays, but we almost have a full Not Me cast joining Papa Gramp and first Yoke. We're just missing off Gunn now. We have a full team. I love the scene with Nick and Sand. I love how we're getting all people from Not Me. It's so cool. There's a friendship with a wholesome Nick suggesting they hook up. It was actually quite funny to me, because we've been joking about what if Nick and Sand were the thing in the roommates. Also, Mark is completely with First and Neo in the kiss and GMO actor's goals. First is still the lead. I also love the comedy between Wade joining them. The Sand looked at Ray and Nick, and Nick's mouth, sorry for posting the story. That was funny. I do agree with your thoughts about Ray going a bit too far in the same. If Mew hadn't been in the picture, although by the end we understand Mew was aware all along, I would have loved Ray and Sam moments much more. Yeah, I wish they just did that moment a bit sooner and then did the Ray and Sam moments. But that scene in the caravan was just too perfect. I can't help it. Mew's mum having adopted Top, Mew's reaction was so funny, because he still hadn't forgiven Top, but his mum loves him, and I'm still fully on board with Mew not giving in so soon. And Force and Book really have surprised me with their acting in the second half of the season. I've got to admit, like, the first half of the season, I wasn't feeling it. Second half, they're doing a lot better. Ross, an old boy, messing up and sleeping with his own brother. I really like Mew and Ray's scene at the end. So far, I haven't really felt much for their friendship and that scene, and I felt that. Not sure if you've noticed, but didn't have the subs on the videos, which I fixed. But no, thank you for pointing out, guys. So, report, I'm probably in the minority on this, but I actually never really saw what Ray did with Sand as cheating with Mew. I get. I've read this comment already. I get where you're coming from, but I also do think they still classed as a relationship. So, for Sans' point of view, it's still, I would still accept it as cheating until after. Not last episode, nor the episode on the camping trip, which would leave the benefit of giving the view that Ray and Sans' scenes are less bad in the taste in my mouth compared to the others. But really, thought they never really explicitly stated they were together. They still kissed and stuff. That's the problem. That's still classed as cheating to me. Obviously, it's hard because Sand and Ray aren't in a relationship, but like you're pursuing two people in a way. But I get where you're coming from. Now, Ray even told Sand the last episode that, yeah, he was out of the friend zone and Mew, but they would have to see how it goes. Mew also seems to be perfectly fine with the guy in the club coming on to him, and he flirts back too, before Top shows up. Also hits on him. So the whole Ray not telling Mew about Sand thing doesn't really bother me. Mew was doing similar things, just not to the same level. I think the problem is just the reason I have a problem is Ray was kicking off Top for the stuff he was doing, but some of the stuff Ray was doing was exactly the same thing Top was doing, you know? He was still like fucking Sand and stuff by Mew's book. So it's how Ray was sort of can't really have the moral high ground on Top. I think that's where I mainly had the problem with it. It's just like he was cursing Top for all these things, but then saying that, oh, you're lucky that you have Mew. But when he finally had the chance to be with Mew, he didn't change. So I think that's where I had the problem. But also, the thing when you mentioned Ray breakup talk was in my mind the whole time together. People have been kind of shitting on Ray's character for dragging Mew down to him level. And the stuff no one ever seems to mention is how Mew is clearly leading Ray and his supposed best friend on. That's a good point. Try to get over top and be pissed off or fuck off, while at the same time being very much aware that Ray's been hopelessly one-sided and the love for him for years. His concern for Ray's drinking problem is also flew right out of the window as soon as he saw his addiction and lifestyle as the way himself that also numbed the pain that he was feeling. Mew was one of the one between the two that kept wanting them to drink and smoke at parties, not Ray. Mew was heartbroken, not fully himself. But in my opinion, those things are so much worse whenever it was Ray was doing it. So I don't blame Ray for still pursuing Sand whilst being a fucked up situation with Mew, because Ray was aware that but he was still eager to get to whatever crumbles Mew was giving him. At least until he finally realizes how much Sand was actually starting to mean to him. So yeah, I feel even though it was totally clear to the audience it was Ray and Mew, they both knew they didn't have anything real going on, and they were both going kind of shit again, being kind of shitty about it. Even in my opinion, Mew was the shittiest one. Both of them knew and don't really fit together. They don't actually love each other, and they just wasn't really ready for what was meant to be for first. But then they came into terms with it, and I absolutely loved the conversation they had later on. That was a really good conversation. I was really happy with that one. Also, I found it hilarious how you mentioned Gramp from Not Me earlier when you were trying to refer to Gramp, and then you recognized that, and then you didn't recognize that when he showed up. It happens to the best of us. Also, he didn't have dyed hair. I still can't believe that. It threw me right off. But yeah, I think that is. I believe that's all the comments. So yeah, thank you guys for listening, and I hope to see you in the next Patreon comments.